Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
One of those intros that's like, wait for it.
Hello, welcome, good morning. I am the host of Court Radio, Dean Weitzman. Welcome to the show, folks. If you've got a legal issue, we have the answer. Give us a call, 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. You know, we're in 2 weeks now. Week two of our B. Braun trial is in the books. And it is, it's devastating to have to listen to this. A young man in his 30s had been the victim of cancer and passed because of it. And The allegations are that the cancer came from a chemical that he worked with, but also, and more importantly, lived around his entire life. And as the scientists and doctors have shown, even at a low dose, if you got it from the time you were a young child and you keep breathing in these fumes of ethylene oxide, it will cause cancer over time. And the smaller the dose, but the longer the time, the more deadly it can be. And you know what really is impressive is that folks take time out of their lives to listen to these disputes. The jury is, they're giving up probably what will amount to a month of their time to listen to the dispute and to render a decision. And you just, sometimes we take it for granted that these people's lives are completely upset over this dispute, which they don't really have any dog in that fight, but that's the way the system works. Like, we get to listen to each other's problems and come up with the appropriate solution. So I applaud the jury for their efforts in this really difficult, difficult case to hear. So we're about halfway there, and I will report back as things develop. Meanwhile, life goes on in America. And I have what's a really important topic that we at My Philly Lawyer wrote a paper about that you can find on the website.
I never thought of this, by the way. I never even considered this at all.
Yeah, I didn't know what the answer was going to be until we dug into it. Mm-hmm. And the answer was a little surprising to me.
Well, let's tell everybody the question.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give them the question.
Yeah, what's the question?
Who is most likely to sustain a serious injury in a car accident, men or women? I don't know what our listeners think.
Men, we're asking before we tell them?
Yeah, of course.
We're gonna, well, when you say sustain, are we talking about at fault?
No, I'm not talking about who's at fault. I'm talking about the injuries sustained. So, who is most likely to sustain a serious and or deadly injury in a car crash, men or women? Wow. Or will there be no difference?
Off the top of my head, I would say, but see, I know the answer now.
Yeah.
And I'm Not surprised.
Not surprised. Okay.
Well, not too surprised.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the answer. And, you know, you can, those listening, if you end up calling in, you got to be honest and tell me what you thought.
Yeah.
But the answer is women.
Mm-hmm.
Women statistically sustain more serious and deadly injuries in a car crash than men.
Now, that's not to say they are worse or better drivers. That's not what this is talking about.
No.
Right. So let's just get that out of everyone's head right now.
That's why,
it has
nothing
to do with that.
That's why I said that up front.
Yeah.
Right.
That may or may not be the same answer.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
We're not going to go down that route.
This is what we're talking about.
We're not even.
No.
No. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
I won't go there. Female drivers and female front right passengers.
Front right. The navigator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Backseat driver.
Yeah.
Well, front right. That's navigator. The back seat is the back seat. Come on now. Yeah. People have their rules to each seat.
Wait a minute. When you were kids.
Yeah.
Okay. And you were hanging with your posse.
Yeah. The posse.
And you were all going to go somewhere. And one of you had a car. Okay.
Yeah. I remember that guy.
What was the word that the rest of the group screamed out before you took off?
Was it wingman? Was it?
I got something.
I got front seat. I got
shotgun.
Shotgun. That's it. That's what we used to say. Shotgun.
Yeah. I don't know if kids do that anymore.
Who knows? It would always be. We had a crew. It was about five of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be the guy in. If you weren't driving,
you wanted to be shotgun.
You wanted to be shotgun.
And I was. Jeff Manley had the blue Maverick. I was shotgun sometimes. Sometimes it was other cats. The other three were in the back seat. We drove all over Philadelphia looking for a basketball run, looking for girls.
Girls, of course.
Yeah, always the girls.
Always the girls. Always, man. Always kept the car clean. Yeah, shotgun.
Okay, so driving.
Women do that.
I don't know if women scream out shotgun and jump in the front seat.
No, the women go. The women are always in the front seat.
When it's a group of women. Well, how do they do it?
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, shotgun. No.
Five women in a car. Who gets what seat and why? Do they care?
Yeah.
They might not even care.
I want that question answered too.
Well, they probably prefer.
Oh, yeah, let's ask a woman.
We have a woman.
Hello, producer.
Hello. It depends. Who's driving? Meaning, if it's my one friend who I know drives like a maniac, I'm sitting in the back. If it's my other friend who drives regular, obeys street rules, I'll sit in the front seat.
But do women do what we do? They holler shotgun, or I'm sitting in this seat?
No, because it depends. Like, we might actually fight for the back seat because we don't want to sit up front with a crazy driver.
Okay.
Right. So it really depends.
Gotcha.
See, of course, it depends. It's a woman. It depends.
Yeah.
It's her prerogative.
There's an analysis on everything. 215-227-2727. You're going to want to jump in on this conversation. So, female drivers and those riding shotgun are 17% more likely than men to sustain a serious or fatal injury in a car crash. And any seat belt wearing woman in any position in the car are 73% more likely to be injured than the seat belt wearing men. Let that sink in. 73% more likely to be injured than a seat belt wearing man.
Well, then the question is why?
Yes. Are they more distracted when they're driving? It's got nothing to do with that.
Who's wearing seat belts and who's not in these cars, men and women, as it relates to men and women?
Well, we're assuming everybody's
wearing.
Yes. We're assuming
Well, you know what happens when you assume, but I digest. I digress.
With the subject in hand, we're assuming.
I will say this. When I was a kid, you may have worn a seatbelt. You may not. Probably not.
But women are the reason we have seatbelts. The car industry changed because women said that enough is enough. Mothers against drunk driving and so forth and so on.
Well, they had seatbelts back when I was, you know, it was a lap belt.
But it became mandatory.
Yes.
Right? That and as well as, was it the airbags and the baby chairs had to be a certain way. Women did all of that for the auto industry. If not for women, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
For safety standards.
Yeah, for society.
Yeah.
we owe so much to women.
No, let's not go there. Okay. It still stings. Move on.
Okay. So I want to talk about why. Why is it that, yeah. I don't know, you know, folks might jump in on this conversation, but if you have a legal issue, now is the time to call 215-227-2727. You'll talk to Sarah. Sarah will get your question lined up, and then Manuel and Eric will answer it.
As we, yes, the great legal minds of Tactic and Glenn. I'm sorry, Glenn and Tactic.
Wow.
It comes to reason. We would assume, if we're assuming like the seatbelt thing, we would assume folks are distracted. They're on the phone. Right? Now, here we go. I don't know that there's an equal measure about who's on the phone more, men or women, and using it nowadays. I don't even know. And I think that's a big reason. But I don't know if it has anything to do with the injury.
Yeah. You're sliding back into what causes the accident.
And we're just talking about injury.
Yeah. Distracted driving or what have
Everyone's distracted now.
Yeah. Everybody's distracted.
Yeah.
But the.
So wait, what I wanted to ask, though, if you're in an accident and it's proven, well, you were on the phone and you're distracted, that hurts the case, doesn't it?
We're taking a right turn.
Let's put on our blinkers and take the right turn.
I'm going for it.
All right.
You know, one of the things that I would do typically, when you have a case, and what I mean by that is you've had an accident, you've sustained an injury, you're pursuing a claim against the at-fault driver because you want to be compensated for the damages they've done. We at some point in that litigation, we're going to do something called a deposition.
Right.
So I'm going to call in Manuel, who's the at-fault driver, and I'm going to bring you into my office, and there's going to be a court reporter there and maybe a videographer, and I'm going to tape you. I'm certainly going to stenographically record the deposition so I have a transcript of every question and every answer that you've given. And so in that deposition, I'm going to ask you to provide me your cell phone number. And once I have your cell phone number, I am going to subpoena the cell phone records for Manuel. And I will find out if you were texting or using the phone at the moment of impact.
Gotcha.
And that brings me back, again, we're on a tangent here, but I'm going to go with this. That brings me back to a case I had many, many years ago where a young lady was a backseat passenger in a car, and the car was driving down the street when another vehicle exited a gas station, struck the car on the road, you know, T-boned it. And the young lady sustained a very, very serious injury. She had... her pelvis was shattered. And that kind of circles back to what we're talking about here, because if she had been a man, she may not have sustained that injury. But nonetheless...
Oh, as serious of an injury.
Yeah, her pelvis was demolished, and there was a question as to whether she would ever have a child, be able to bear children because of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's important.
The defendant in that case was a priest.
Oh.
On his way to a funeral.
And what was it like when he put his hand on the Bible?
Yeah, yeah. And I got his cell phone records and found out that he was on the phone at the time that the crash occurred.
Father Flanagan, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, so that was very instrumental in bringing about a resolution to that claim on behalf of that client, because, you know, up to that point, there was a denial of responsibility. And so,
really?
Yeah, so those cell phone records were very important.
Even though he did the T-boning,
he tried to
say that he wasn't responsible.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, he was already, I guess he was just, or the insurance company was just trying to mitigate the damages, because it sounds like he was always at fault.
You know, it's been a lot of years, and I may have gotten the facts backwards. The car that my client was in may have been exiting the gas station. Now, she was a passenger, so she wasn't at fault.
Right,
she wasn't
right.
driving.
Right.
And he was on the main road.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He T-bones her.
He T-bones her coming out of the gas station. And he said, I was driving safely, but meanwhile he was
on the phone.
On the phone,
so he might have had a chance to stop.
Shame on you, father.
Yes.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
What disturbs me is he lied.
Yeah.
Well, or he tried to.
His recollection of the facts was askew.
Yeah.
Man of the cloth.
But you know. Good point about the cell phone records. And yes, they do play a part in litigation now on every motor vehicle accident we have.
All right. So you have whatever. You're sustaining an injury.
Yes.
If you got a phone in your hand, you may be in a different position where your injuries may be more serious.
This is a male and female differential that has nothing to do with what they're doing.
Well, without looking at the paper, it's got to do with composition, the makeup of male and female anatomy or something, the size, how they're sitting when they drive. I don't know. What is it?
Yes, all of that. But then even more importantly, when they do the crash analysis, they're using male dummies. Anatomically, well, that makes sense, right? Male dummies.
I knew you were going to go there. You just gave a lot of women some ammunition. Go ahead.
Male dummies are anatomically different. Why do they use male dummies?
Why male dummies?
That's a great question. I'm not sure I have the answer to that, but maybe it's because males are the ones who are designing these, you know, fake accidents to try to determine if the vehicles are safe, and they've always used males.
What in the Elon Musk? Okay.
What?
Well, if you think back, way back, women didn't always drive. That's how far back this goes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Yeah, if you remember, you know, we were just cooking and cleaning, honey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's true.
Yeah, well.
Y'all didn't have bank accounts to the late 60s, early 70s. That's exactly. True.
Couldn't vote either.
Couldn't vote either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Women generally have less muscle mass and bone density compared to men, making them more vulnerable to severe injuries during collision.
Mm. So that's the culprit.
Well, that's
anatomy, body makeup.
Yes,
yeah.
The body makeup. Female bodies are structured differently, particularly in terms of the pelvis.
Amen.
Right.
Which can lead to different injury patterns during crashes. Structural design of seatbelts and airbags, which are calibrated mainly based on average male figures.
Oh, that's got to change.
Can sometimes be less effective for women.
That's got to change then.
Yeah.
That's got to change. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, and if you had designed a seatbelt that maybe was wider and grasped the body lower than the ones we are using today, then you may be designing a seatbelt that's more appropriate for women. And then women would have.
I didn't even know you should take that into consideration with seatbelts. Now that I think about it, it makes sense. I'll call manufacturers. I wonder if they're doing it. If some make and models think about that.
Well,
I don't
actually
know.
I kind of think that the insurance companies would make the manufacturers do that because it's not who did it initially. Well, it's based on damages, so
the less damages, the less payout on claims.
Exactly.
Yeah, could be. Mm. Let's talk to Ronnie on line 3. Oh, Ronnie, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello. How is everybody doing today?
Hey, what's up, girl?
Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
I'm good. Yeah, Ronnie from Germantown.
Listen, okay.
Why you got to tell everybody from Germantown? Stop. Listen. I'm actually from Mount Airy. That's where I grew up.
Remember, well, see, and, you know, you're telling on yourself. Come on.
Hush. Listen, I was going to say something about the anatomy of women versus men, and Dean already said I heard it, but I did want to tell you about this. So, Lyft, okay? The Lyft drivers are really, I can't even say it, the FCC will lock me up. But I was in a Lyft the other day, and this guy got in, and he was talking to me in English. As soon as I got in, he started taking off. He starts talking his native language. But here's the killer. My man took his hair and pushed it over the right side of his ear. And I'm not supposed to hear him talking. He has the earbud in his ear, but I'm not supposed to see this. I videotaped him. I called Lyft. I called the cops. And I'm getting all my money back.
For the ride or for all Lyft rides in your lifetime?
Because I don't think Lyft, they're not supposed to be on their phones.
Everyone's on the phone.
Right, but they're not supposed to be talking on the phone.
They're always talking.
Yes.
Exactly. Well,
I'm just saying this for the listeners. If y'all want to do things the way, you know, Ronnie from Germantown does it. You put your phone up, you put it on record, you got the Lyft driver talking, and you say, while the recording's going on, I'm having a headache. I'm having a whatever it is. You can make it. My leg, I'm having a cramp. And see if they respond to you. If they don't, you got them. You know, you got them. And I end up getting more money back from Lyft than I pay out. Because every other time, it's like these people are just are like they're ignorant. I don't understand it. And Lyft is not enforcing this policy, which leads into an accident.
Yes, yes. Right. And that's the most important thing. If you're on the phone, even if it's through an earbud or speakerphone, you are distracted and you're not going to be able to have the same control over your vehicle and make the best decisions while operating it. You know, you're operating something which is a deadly weapon in some instances.
That's right.
And it's against policy.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, it's against policy, but Lyft, right. Lyft seems to be very lackadaisical. When I have these conversations with them, when I start talking to corporate, because before they wouldn't let me, but I had to pull some strings. So now I talk to them boys in San Francisco now, and I say, you're doing it again. You better get it under control. And now they listen to me because I got videotapes. Just like every other day, I got to video this stuff. I need another phone just for this. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Anyway, I'm out, y'all. Listen, have a great day.
You know, Ronnie, thank you. You're making Philly a little safer for us.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Listen, y'all have a great
All right.
Bye.
All right, we're right.
215-227-2727.
It's been a minute since I've been in an Uber or Lyft, and I didn't know all the rules and regulations because everyone's always on the phone. So I didn't know they're not supposed to have an earbud and can ride hands-free. I honestly didn't know that.
They're not supposed to.
Did not know that. Okay.
All right, let's talk to Cherie on line 2. Cherie, welcome to Core Radio.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Okay, so I have a question. Now, it's not car related or anything, but I'm in a situation. So last week I was served some papers. My father passed away last year, and his wife and children over in California, I'm the eldest child, they're in California, and they're listed as the plaintiffs on the case, and they've listed me as a nominal defendant. So I have 30 days to respond to this matter, and I have no idea what type of lawyer I need. I've been calling medical malpractice lawyers. They're giving me the runaround, don't call this person, call family law, and I just have no idea what to do, and I'm on a time crunch. So if you could help me out, please, does anybody know anything?
Well, first off, do you have homeowner's insurance or renter's insurance?
No.
Ah, okay. So typically a nominal defendant is a person or entity that's named in a lawsuit for technical reasons, but not really involved in the case and has no responsibility for it. The purpose of a nominal defendant is to allow the court to make a proper judgment and decide all the issues. Mm-hmm. So, you need a lawyer perhaps to defend you. Or at least make a phone call to the plaintiff's attorney to find out kind of what's the going ons of the case. Why were you named? What's the purpose in naming you? To see whether it's something that you'll need to defend yourself on or something you can just ignore. If there's a primary defendant, obviously they're not bringing a lawsuit against you. And I don't know the facts of the case, but I'm going to say if you're named as a nominal defendant, they're not bringing the claim against you, hoping to get any money out of you. And so I'm not overly concerned, but I would want to know what's going on and why you're involved. And it should be some independent person who makes that phone call for you so that they can get the bottom line, the truth as to what's going on. And it should be somebody who is an attorney who has some legal background. In the area of personal injury, you know, whether it's personal injury defense or personal injury as a plaintiff, one or the other, somebody should be helping you in this instance and make the phone call and find out. Unfortunately, attorneys who are working not for a percentage of a case, they're not representing the injured party, they're representing somebody else, they get paid by the hour. And so it's not unusual if you're going to ask an attorney to spend some time, and even this little thing may take an hour of an attorney's time, that they're going to ask to be paid for that representation. And since you don't, you know, that's why I asked you if you had homeowners, because if you had homeowners insurance, it may, not definite, but it may be covered. And they would then, one of the things about having insurance, folks, is that it enables you to have representation if you're negligent in some fashion.
Or even if they think you're negligent.
Yes.
They will defend you.
Yes. And they will hire an attorney. And that's the greatest benefit of an insurance policy. I mean, that and along with the fact that they may actually pay if you were negligent. But the representation could be quite expensive. And so in any event, Sherry, you need to speak to an attorney in Philly who can. Well, is this case brought here in Philadelphia or is it brought in California?
California.
Yeah. Well, then, unfortunately, what you're going to need to do is call the lawyer referral service for the county in which the case is brought. So if it's in Los Angeles County, Los Angeles has a lawyer referral service, and they will refer you to an attorney who can help you and get some answers to this matter. So you Google the lawyer referral service for the county in which this case is brought, and they'll refer you to an attorney in that county, and you'll speak to somebody. But again, be prepared to pay something for the attorney's time.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sherry. Take care. 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal in the world. If you've got a legal issue, give us a call. We'll be back in 2 minutes after this station break. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, my Philly lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard, listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
More legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sirree, Bob. We're back. I am Dean Weitzman, your host, every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
There you go. Legal's out of the way. Folks, if you've got a legal issue, we've got the solution. Don't even hesitate. Give us a call, 215-227-2727. And when the show's over, that number magically becomes the key number for My Philly Lawyer right here in the city of brotherly love.
Like magic.
Bring it on, folks. We are representing everyone in the city, and it should be you as well. 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. Let's talk to Milton on line three, Eric. Oh, Milton.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you. What's happening, sir?
So, a year ago, I was in a car accident, right? I know that the one way that I was coming from had a stop sign. The other way, the guy didn't have a stop sign, right? So, I know this guy, when at the moment of impact, he was telling me that he was, like, really distracted because he just found out his father had cancer or something like that. His girlfriend broke up with him or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And on top of that, the guy ended up leaving, like, the scene of the accident and then coming back, like, maybe an hour later, you know what I'm saying? So, like, my insurance company found me, like, 60% at fault for the accident, you know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to know how was I at fault. If I know that this person, I was telling the cop that he was distracted or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and they still found me at fault.
Okay, so you've got the stop sign. The other guy does not have the stop sign. Typically, you'd be 100% at fault in a case like that. And, you know, again, depends on where. Like, did you hit him in the very front of his car, the middle of his car, toward the back of his car?
He ran to the side of me.
Right. He ran into the side of you. In the front of your car, in the middle of your car, in the back of your car?
It was more in the middle.
Middle.
Like passenger side door, full passenger side door, put it like that.
All right. So, again, all of these factors come into deciding fault. Now, remember, when an insurance company decides fault, they're just taking a best stab at it. Who really decides fault? A jury or a judge? And so you present your claim to a judge or a jury, and then they have to decide whether you're 100% at fault, you're 90%, you're 80%. And that really, you know.
It's like what's interesting is the further back that they hit you, the more at fault the other driver is.
That's exactly right. Because the more control he would have had of the intersection. So nobody has an unfettered right to enter an intersection, whether you have a green light or no stop sign. You still have to observe the intersection, make sure that you can go through it safely, even though you have a right to enter that intersection. But again, it's not unfettered. So he had an obligation. Even though you had the stop sign, he had an obligation. If he was speeding, somebody, a witness, you know, or we had an accident reconstructionist, and they got involved and they said, okay, the speed limit's 25, but the other driver was going 75. And, you know, your claim is that you were stopped, you looked both ways, you didn't see any traffic coming, you entered the intersection, and this guy barreled down the street at 75 miles an hour. He was so far back you couldn't even see him, but in the blink of an eye, he was in the intersection crashing into the side of your car. I would say that, you know, we probably could get more fault on him than you. I don't know how fast he was going, but the decision made by an insurance company is not necessarily the be-all and end-all. But I understand where they would come up with 60%. Mm-hmm. If you have a stop sign and he doesn't, and all things being equal, you have an obligation to make sure when you look right and you look left that there's no traffic coming that you might impede that does not have a stop sign. And so you could have been 100% at fault. They say 60. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you had brought a personal injury claim and you were represented by an attorney and you bring a personal injury claim and a jury finds you to be 60% at fault, you get 0% of damages. In Pennsylvania, we are a comparative negligence state up to 50%. Once you hit 51%, then, you know, you may have $1 million case and you would think, well, at 51%, then give me $490,000. Give me 49% of my damages. No. In Pennsylvania, the second you're more than 50% at fault, 50.1, you get zero.
Well, you have to depend on your own insurance.
I'm talking if you're making an affirmative claim.
Oh.
If he were bringing a claim, he would not get, if the jury found him to be 60% at fault, he gets zero of damages.
Okay.
All right? Wow. And so, you know, in some states, if you're 60% at fault, you would collect 40% of your damages, but not in Pennsylvania. So what they're saying is you're not getting anything out of this. And have a good day. That's what they told you.
Sure.
They may be right. They may be wrong. Who knows? But, you know, there's not a lot you could do about undoing that. So if they paid him, some money for his damages, it's considered a chargeable accident for you, Milton.
Right. Okay.
Unfortunate.
And that's what's coming up on my when I'm trying to get new insurance right now, you know.
Right, and it's coming up as a chargeable accident because you were more than 50% at fault for the accident, and that's an insurance thing, that's an underwriting thing, that's not something that you can raise an objection about. Mm. You're gonna have an increased premium probably for 3 years. And then after 3 years, most insurance companies will let that slide off your record.
Okay.
Milton, have a great day. Thank you for that question. It brought up a lot of interesting topics for us to discuss.
Yeah, it did.
All right. You too. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Milton. Take care. I don't know. You know, I mean.
But that's interesting, though.
It is. And we're going to circle back for a minute. We were talking earlier in the show.
Most crash dummies.
Yeah.
Male.
We were talking earlier in the show. What we were talking about was who sustains more injuries in a car crash. All things being equal, men or women. And the answer is women by a large margin. Women sustain more injuries because they are anatomically different than men. And because seatbelts and crash systems were designed to protect men's bodies, not women's, because we use male crash dummies. Most crash dummies in safety tests are modeled on the average male. This oversight leads to a lack of comprehensive safety data for women, and it results in protection measures that do not account for female-specific anatomy and posture in typical driving scenarios. Crash dummies didn't reflect the average woman until 2023. Here's a fun fact. The original crash dummies weren't dummies at all. They were living, breathing men. When the live testers...
And they really were dummies.
When the live testers were replaced with crash dummies, they were made to represent the average 171-pound male, just under 6 feet tall. And all of the crash data and everything was based on that size of a crash dummy. So based on crash dummy analysis, people who are heavier than 171 pounds, significantly shorter than 6 feet tall, are also at increased risk of serious injury, male or female.
So wait, back up for a second. You said now these standards have changed, something changed in 2023, the way these standards are measured as opposed to men and women? Is that what you said?
No, they're using different crash dummies now.
That's all.
Yeah, shorter ones, fatter ones.
But still nothing women specific.
Nothing women specific.
So it sounds like, but that needs to change.
Yeah, well, as all things go with women, it changes very slowly.
Okay. I'm not going down that hole, man. Not today.
215-227-2727. Let's talk to Joe. Line one. Oh, Joe. Joe?
Is that South Village? Oh, there's that noise again.
Yeah. Well, he brought up a good point, and I just want to raise it. So I try to impart some information for our listeners. Joe leased a car years ago, found out he should have taken pictures of the car when he returned it because he returned the car, walked away. GMC Bank then contacted him sometime later, and they tried to hit him up for $1,700 in damage to the car.
Hold on. He rented from where?
He leased a vehicle.
Oh, he leased a vehicle.
Yeah, and returned it to the bank when he was off lease and didn't take pictures and they tried to get him for $1,700 after the car came back. I guess they found some damage, or they tried to find some damage that they claimed was his responsibility. And so what's the moral of that story? Take pictures of your car, and when you return it, you should be doing an audit of the vehicle with the person you're returning it. You should both be walking around noting any damage and then both of you signing off on it before you return the car.
And you should do this also with a rental car as well.
Yes, and they do, don't they? When you rent a car, they walk around the car to point out any damage mm-hmm. that they might have. And then when you return it, you should do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then get a receipt from them showing that there's no new damage to the vehicle. Otherwise, you could be found to be at fault for damage that you didn't cause, you know, especially if you got no proof, you got no pictures, you got no, you know, no walk around, no nothing. You're at the mercy of whoever you return the car to. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to James on line two.
Good morning.
Good morning, James. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed. I'm good, sir. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. What's going on, James?
Okay, so this is a medical question or scenario involving my son, who is now 30. Lives in Philadelphia, was treated at a hospital in Philadelphia when he was 17. Then became 18. He was then switched to another major hospital in Philadelphia. He received medical treatment at this hospital in Philadelphia. I don't want to say the name.
You just did.
It's all good.
I was trying not to, but...
It's all good.
Okay, so was treated, given a medication, which was an injection. Consequently, I'm going to say around 3 or 4 years later, he started suffering side effects from this medication, which he still is right now. He's 30 years old. My question is, can we still... We tried to pursue it legally during COVID, and we were told... through a big law firm that they couldn't take the case.
Okay, so let me answer because you gave me enough information. So this is all about statute of limitations. It's not about whether he has a valid claim or not. We're not even going to get there because the statute of limitations would impede his ability to bring a claim. What is a statute of limitations? It's a time in which you have to, when you know or should know that you have a cause of action or potential cause of action against somebody who wronged you and that wrong caused damages, you have 2 years to bring a claim. Now, the statute is delayed for minors, and it's also delayed for something called the discovery rule. And I'm going to explain what both of them are quickly. Obviously, a minor is a minor. So he's let's say that the negligence occurred when he was 17. His statute is told. It doesn't run. It doesn't even begin to tick away until he turns 18. Then, tick, 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 he has 2 years from turning 18 to bring a lawsuit against anybody who harmed him while he was a minor. So that would be 20. He's older than 20 now, so the statute is gone for him as a minor. What about the discovery rule? What is it? The discovery rule is that if you do not have a reason to know that you were injured, the statute doesn't begin to run until you know that an injury was caused by negligence and the negligence caused you to sustain an injury. So you mentioned that 3 years after or 4 years after his injection, he began to suffer the consequences of that, and it was told to him at that time that it was the injection that caused this to happen.
It was a one-time injection, James?
No, it was over a period of probably 8 months.
Okay.
So let me also ask you a question. So these side effects he continuously had, did they get worse over time as far as the severity of the side effects?
Wouldn't matter.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't matter.
Wow.
Because as soon as he's having side effects, he's on notice that this injection caused a problem. He might not know the full extent of the problem, but he knows it caused a problem. From that moment, yes. From the moment he knows it causes a problem, the clock is ticking. Mm. And so he had 2 years, 2 years from when he learned that, hey, I'm starting to suffer consequences, negative consequences from this inject or from this series of injections. And those negative consequences are affecting me, maybe not badly, but they're still affecting me. It's at that point that the 2 years begins to run. And so I would say that any which way we dice this onion, he's out of time. Mm. He's out of time. And so I wish you the best in dealing with the consequences. And we haven't even gotten to the merits of the case. Right. Did the injection really cause the problems he's having? Has it been scientifically proven that that's the cause of the problem? And was it necessary anyway? Like sometimes we take medicine knowing there could be negative consequences, right? But the benefits outweigh the possible negative consequences. So, again, there's a lot to unpack here, but we don't really need to because he's out of luck on the statute of limitations alone. And, James, I appreciate you, and I thank you for that great question, and I wish you the best of luck for you and your son, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You answered my question. Thank you.
No worries. 215-227-2727. It's the number for all things legal in Philly. So
I'm just reading more of these women accidents and occurrences.
Yeah.
When they happen and daytime hours and urban settings and where traffic is more dense. And I never thought about all this stuff.
You know, speaking of which, we're going to have a show coming up on the 10 most deadly intersections in Philly.
Oh, I can name a couple, I think.
Yeah.
The 10 most deadly, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we grew up in the city. We know there are certain intersections that are...
What comes to mind right away?
Me, Grant and the Boulevard.
Tactic?
It's kind of dangerous coming from the entrance right off of, coming on the 76.
Yeah.
From Belmont, that entrance. You know, if a car or truck is on the right lane,
yep,
and they don't see you, smack. There's been a couple times there have been really bad smacks from that Belmont
Broad
entrance.
Broad Nolney.
Woo, yeah.
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 So, I don't know, maybe our listeners can give us a call or send me an email.
It seems like all of Broad Street is a...
well...
send an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. dean@myphillylawyer.com and tell me what you think are some of the most deadly intersections in Philadelphia and why you think that.
I can tell you my old neighbor, that Upland Way, Burke Street, off 59th Street Bridge intersection where the Acme Markets warehouse was, we saw some great accidents there, man. I saw Pierce Phelps was across the street, cars take out both fences. I've seen cars take out light poles. I've seen people dive out of their cars in that intersection.
Yeah. I've seen a lot as a lawyer and a lawyer who focuses on...
I'm sure, yeah.
A lot of my practice on motor vehicle crashes.
What about at Oxford Circle where you grew up? Were there a lot in the circle?
The Roosevelt Boulevard goes under the circle. Mm-hmm. Around the circle, cars are going much slower. Uh-huh. Where Castor Avenue and the circle meet.
Right.
I would say more likely like at Devereaux and the Boulevard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Boulevard got to be on the list somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, Grant and the Boulevard, yeah. Red Line and the Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. Red Line Road?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of high-speed accidents in those intersections.
And that crazy intersection, Adams.
Hey, how
Adams,
about this?
Yes. Really crazy.
Well, yeah, and we represented somebody who lost their life, a 17-year-old girl right at Adams and the Boulevard.
Yep.
Boulevard.
Yeah, that's what, I thought about that.
If you've got dangerous intersections, send me an email at dean@myphillylawyer. We're going to do a show about that coming up. In the meantime, we got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard, listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Bringing you Court Radio, sponsored by My Philly Lawyer.
I know them.
Yeah, they're pretty good dudes.
Yeah.
Local, too. Good guys.
Yep. Find claims. We find causes of action where other attorneys do not. And we can see through the warts of a case to get to the meat and potatoes. So if you like what you hear here today and you've got a family or a friend who's been in an accident, send them my way, 215-227-2727.
We've been in business how long now, Dean?
Lord, don't remind me.
You're not the best because you're the oldest. You're the oldest because you're the best.
I just sustained myself over lifetime. 37 years. Damn.
Yeah, that's called experience.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. You're not getting some spring chicken just coming out the coop. You're representing them.
Nice. He's about in the yard for a minute, huh?
Yeah. I dare say
I'm running the coop.
He runs the coop.
Yeah, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, baby.
All right, King Chicken.
Oh. All right. Calm down,
Counselor
Rooster.
Cackle.
Calm down.
Right. Okay.
Kimberly on line two. Eric. Oh, Kim. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, Kim.
Hello. Hi.
What's going on?
So, okay, I'm going to try and articulate this the very best way I can and make it really short because it's a little long-winded, but I'm going to try to do my best. So, I purchased a car from Danny Delato. Make a long story short, the car was basically a piece of trash. However, I did have a warranty on it to get it fixed. So I went to the warranty company when the transmission went after about 3 months that I had it. The warranty company took about 4 months to fix it. But in the process of them fixing it, they really didn't fix it because it cost me an arm and leg of rental fees that I had to pay. They kept saying that it was ready. I would get the car, take it off out of the mechanic's hand, try to get on 95 to get to work, and the car would break down. I ended up having this happen about four times before finally, literally 2 weeks ago from today, it was now fixed. So what I would like to know, can I sue them?
Yeah, well, maybe. A lot will depend on the language in the contract you signed, what they're responsible for. When you say a warranty, so the warranty company found you a repair person, or was it the warranty company themselves who do the repairs? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go.
No, the warranty company gave me a list of people that they work with that I could take my vehicle to. And, of course, I picked the one closest to my home. Now, I don't know any of these mechanics, but I picked the one closest to my home, so that's the one I dealt with.
All right. So the answer is, unboxing this, you probably, if you have a claim, you may have a claim against the warranty company as well as the mechanic that took an inordinate amount of time. So if you could show that the mechanic was not doing the things that a normal mechanic should be doing for your car in a timely fashion, you may have a case against the mechanic. But I could see a lot of excuses, justifiable excuses, like nowadays the parts aren't available. I don't know how many clients I've had whose cars have been stuck in body shops because some part was coming from somewhere and it was delayed by months before it finally got here because of delays, because of COVID still and all that other stuff. So again, I don't know that there was negligence here. I don't know there was a breach of the contract. You have a contract, so you have to look at the contract, see if they promised you something that they didn't do, or they did it in a way that was, improper. And yes, if you feel like you have a cause of action for those reasons, you could bring a claim against the warranty company and or the mechanic or perhaps
or both.
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps both. But again, a careful reading of your contract is in order, and also to find out what was the basis for all these delays. Was it a justified basis, or was it just they put you at the bottom of the list because they were getting paid very little from the warranty company, and they took all their more important customers first?
And it may be a good reason. It's just that, it took a long time, and it cost her money as far as rentals. So it's really all in the contract.
And is there rental car coverage in the contract?
In the contract, right.
Or is that something that you're responsible for and you should have known that?
Right.
Well, that's the thing. So the warranty company only gave me a time base of, I believe he said, 21 hours, because under their blue book, that's the time that it should have taken for them to do that. Well, we're talking 3 months later. So they only gave me very little. I ended up paying about $2,800 in rental fees, but they gave me $280.
And an interesting thing is, and one we didn't talk about, is that the warranty company places these folks' names on their website saying these are vetted and authorized repair shops that we believe will do a good job. Now, if it turns out that they hooked you up with somebody who was, not properly vetted and didn't do a good job and maybe wasn't prepared to handle your job in a timely fashion, then there may be a cause of action against the warranty company for, recommending somebody that they should not have been recommending. But again, you got to look at the contract to see if there's any clauses in there which would forbid you for bringing such an action as that, because that's kind of an out of contract action. Hey guys, you put up a list of people and you didn't do anything to check out if these folks were legitimate repair shops. And because of that, I relied on that to my detriment. Detrimental reliance is and can be a cause of action that you may want to bring against the warranty company. And if you bring an action against the warranty company and they're in some state far away, then maybe they're going to just pay you the money, and you can bring it in small claims. However, again, I go back to the language in the contract. The contract may say you can't sue us. You have to go to an arbitration or something. Mm-hmm. Read your contract, young lady. That's going to dictate everything. Kim, thanks for your interesting question. We got to run.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm. So we...
Good show.
Yeah, we're all out of time. And women, be careful in cars because they're not as safe as they are for men. We'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place.